So the reading is from Luke chapter 1 and verses 26 to 38. It's on page 54 in the New Testament part of the Bibles. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Well, as we are starting our Advent sermon series, so we're going to be thinking together primarily from this passage from Luke chapter 1. And we're going to be looking elsewhere in future weeks as we get closer to Christmas, and we'll be looking back to the Old Testament prophecies and so on. But as we start today, so we have come to this passage from Luke 1, 26 to 38, this wonderful telling to Mary of all that was to happen. And yet, before we start, I want to move back slightly further. I want us to go back to some earlier verses in chapter 1, to verses 8 through to 13. And if you want to follow that passage through, it's on page 53. Talks about Zechariah. Once, as he was serving as priest before God, and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John." Maybe as we come to this Advent time, as we think about the possibility of encountering God, so maybe we think about the symbols that help us with that. And I love the simplicity, actually, of lighting a candle. Perhaps in Baptist churches we don't do that as often as in some denominations. But just the simplicity, the constancy, both the fragility and the majesty of a flame. And there's something about the light. There's something about the tranquility that speaks to us in our moments of darkness, of the goodness of God. There's something of the flickering nature of it, that as we recognise our own lives with all our frailty, with those times when we don't get it right, to know that actually, despite the flickering nature, light can still shine through. And maybe we hold to aspects of religion, aspects of ritual and so on, and think these are places where we meet with God, where there is the incense. And maybe if we think about Zechariah in the temple, and this picture depicts him entering the temple, maybe we think, well, actually, that would be a place where we could meet with God. The reverence, the awe and majesty of that moment as we enter into the temple. For Zechariah, this was a huge privilege. As the reading I just read mentions, he was one of the priests, and not only was he one of the priests, but he was one of the priests who was chosen by lot to be able to enter into this privilege of there by the altar, entering the temple and offering before God the incense and the sacrifices. It was a huge privilege. And maybe as he stood there and there was that sense of the incense swirling around, the opportunity to realize that he was there with the reality of the presence of God in that place. So maybe that felt like a place where one could encounter God. And yet even at that moment when the angel of the Lord appeared to him, he was still frightened, he was still terrified at the reality of encountering God in that way. And yet that was the reality there in that place of reverence, that place of sacrifice and religion. So he encountered the living God through the angel. But the question, I guess, is what happens when we leave the temple? What happens when we exit and are on our way and think, well, that was the place next to the Holy of Holies or wherever it is, that place next to the incense, that place of sacrifice. What happens when we leave? What happens when we exit the temple? How do we encounter God in the normality of life? How do we encounter God in the street fairs? How do we encounter God in the places where we just live our life? And that's the beauty of this passage, isn't it? Because as we come to this passage, so we find Mary. Not in a temple, not in a place of expectation, but Mary who is simply there in the normality of life, in the grind of the day-to-day. A town in Galilee called Nazareth. In many ways, a backwater town. Verse 27, she was a virgin. This was a young girl, someone who hadn't got education necessarily, hadn't got the stability of knowing years of experience of life, hadn't got that experience of having all sorts of things that were yet to come. She was just a girl going about her life, her everyday normality. She was engaged to a normal man, a man named Joseph, a carpenter, someone who worked with his hands, just was there day by day with his wood, getting splinters in his fingers. This was normality. And there, in the midst of all of it, the angel Gabriel comes, verse 28, and he came to her and said, "Greetings." The divine breaking in. Not in the temple, but in the normality of life. The divine breaking in. And so we hear in this passage that there are wonderful, majestic verses that are spoken to Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God. "You'll name him Jesus. He'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne." The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The child to be born will be holy. He'll be called Son of God." Here in the midst of the dirt and dust of her normality, as she went about her normal life, here she encounters the living God. The Spirit of God is going to descend upon her in power. The baby she's going to bear miraculously is going to be known as the Son of God. He's going to save people from their sins. The divine breaks through in the midst of the normality for Mary. As we look at today's passage, so we've entitled it A Journey from Heaven. And that's the reality, isn't it? That as we live on earth, as we go through the day to day, as we are not good enough in our own strength to have a relationship with God, so the journey is from heaven to us. The beautiful song that we've sung, a number of beautiful songs, thank you, James, but that one, the servant king, the one who threw stars into space, was the one who was willing to come down and live, to be born as a baby, to live for us, to make the journey heaven to earth for our sake. And God met with Mary right there in the midst of her normality, and he brought words of blessing. Came to her and said, "Greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you." The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favour with God." And this of someone who was said to be someone who was just a normal virgin girl going about her day-to-day life. And in the midst of it, so we see the normality, we see the divinity, but we realise that this is what was foretold. This is the message of God's salvation plan coming about. We see little glimpses as we go through these verses. There are perhaps indications that this is what God has planned from the very beginning. Verse 27, Joseph of the house of David. This is someone who was of that line that was going to bring about the birth of God's son, who would be in the line of David, who would be the majestic saviour, who would take on that lineage, take on that majesty, take on that position of following the Davidic line. The one who would be the Messiah. This was God's plan. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob. These reminders back to the Old Testament, these words that would have sprung up in the mind and thinking of an Israelite to think, line of David? House of Jacob? Could this possibly be the Messiah? This is God's plan. Divine breaking through in the reality. And so in that moment, as the words are spoken, there is fulfillment. This will come to be because this is God's plan. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. Don't worry about your doubts, Mary. Don't worry about your humanity, Mary. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son. He will reign over the house of Jacob. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, for much is impossible with us, but nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. And as we go through our reality, our normal day-to-day, it's so easy, isn't it, to look back to this and think, well, it's because surely, as we think back, we think, well, we think of the temple, we think of it's because of the religion, it's because of the wonder of these great Old Testament heroes of faith. None of the sort. It's because of God. Because God loves to take us in our normality and our humanity and loves to make us into the people he's destined us to be and called us to be. Not mere mortals, but those who are called to live with the reality of the Holy Spirit of God working through us because of all that Jesus Christ has done for us, taking us and making us who we were made to be. Let's not look always for the spectacular. Let's look for the ordinary and the spectacular God who works in the midst of the ordinary. As we came in today, I don't know if you noticed the CAP banner as you came through the doors. We are supporters of CAP, Christians Against Poverty. And maybe when we think of CAP, we think of the logo. We think of the banner that we walk past. Maybe we think of the website. Perhaps we have the alternative view where we think, well, actually, yeah, this is about, look, CAP Australia, CAP New Zealand, CAP Canada. This is a global thing. This is a magnificent organisation working around the world. We can think about CAP head office in Bradford and watch our head office tour to learn more about what we do. We can think about the news and blogs that they put on the website. This seems like a big organisation, doesn't it? It's a global organisation with websites and blogs and head offices and videos. And if you're watching TV the other week with documentaries on BBC, this is big. This is corporate. This is spectacular. And yet the reality is that when we think about CAP, The more we get into it, the more we understand what this is about. This is not about websites. This is about the reality of letters arriving on a doorstep that say your bill is overdue. This is about phone calls coming in where people have to change their phone numbers because they are constantly dogged by the reality of enforcement agents making another call, another heartbreaking moment as they realise that not only is their bill there, but actually because of the interest, because of the debt payment, because of the fine, it's gone up. And if only they'd dealt with it before. And then another phone call comes in, and another phone call, and they ignore that one. And then another phone call, and they just had enough, and then something lands on the doormat. And this is the reality of CAP. This is the reality of the normality of life and the grind of daily life. It's the reality of despair, just not knowing what to do, not knowing who to turn to, how to cope. I sat in a meeting on Friday as we talked in confidence about some of the people who are part of the CAP scenario in Didcot and Wallingford. And heartbreaking stories, they're complicated stories. Can't go into the detail, but in generics, there are people who have families where there are difficulties. They have people who are about to seize their possessions. This is just the normal grind of life. This is what CAP is about. It's not about the spectacular. It's about the day-to-day. And the beauty of it is that as we come to think about these situations, so we pray. And we pray, God, would you break in to the heartbreak and the normality? And would you come in an inspirational way that sets people free? And the beauty of it is that people are set free. We rejoice as people come into church, as they respond, make commitment prayers, go on conferences and proclaim that actually, yeah, Jesus is going to be someone who I turn to in my life. Individual people. And this is the wonder, isn't it, of the Advent message, that God is a God who breaks through into the normal everyday life. And as CAP, we have the opportunity to make a difference because God has called us to love those who are downtrodden, to bring release for the oppressed. And we can do it because of the generosity of people in this room. It's not spectacular work, it's hard work, it's day-to-day work, it's work where often appointments fall through. But it's God meeting with people in the reality of their day-to-day moment. Perhaps as we come here to church, our minds again are tempted to turn to the big things. We start thinking about the Christmas leaflets and the opportunity to do that. And I just want to pay tribute to Leslie here, who this week has counted over 4,000 leaflets and batched them up and sorted them out. And maybe we think of that kind of the glossy brochure, we think about the services that are coming up, we think of all the things that are going on. But actually the reality with all this is that it's about sharing a faith by plodding through the streets, possibly in the rain, folding up another leaflet, putting it through the letterbox, and having one of those metal things that kind of grates your fingers as you pull it back out. This is the reality of it. It's about the day-to-day and saying it's not just about having 4,000 or so glossy leaflets. It's about this one leaflet which is being put into one door by one person for one family or one person to read. And it's the reality that through this little piece of paper, we're saying to people, there is a God who loves you. There is a God who wants you to know him. And God, this seems such a small thing to do, to expect that actually some change is going to happen because I'm putting one leaflet through one door. But praying that God would work in remarkable ways because he's a God who breaks through in the ordinary, everyday of life. And I find that so reassuring. I mess up on a constant basis. I did a theology degree at Spurgeon's, and sometimes I think, what did I learn? Did I learn anything? Today I've come in this place and I've upset people this morning because of a way I responded as I came in. The leaflets weren't where I put them. I spent an hour putting them there and I was frustrated. It was all ready to go. I had my PowerPoint ready. Showed on the PowerPoint where people were to collect their letters from. They were all there, A to M, N to Z. It was all sorted in my mind. And then I come in, it's not there. In fact, where are the leaflets? What's going on? Ah! And I responded poorly to that situation. And I want to say sorry to the people who got the kind of aftermath of that. But the hope of the gospel message is that actually in all my frailty, in all my plans that go to pot on a regular basis, in all the times where I mess up and get it wrong, not because I want to, but just because it happens, I know a God who actually can work through my frailty and my wavering, and he can do the same for each of you and us, with the hope that actually I'm just the wick. But the light is not me. The light is Jesus Christ. And the light comes from heaven. And the light breaks through into the normality of life and the grit and the grind of daily life and getting it wrong and messing it up. And we can say, God, in my frailty, use me, please. Not because of me, but because of you. And that's why the message of Advent is so special. Because it's the grit and grind of normal life, the dust and the regularity and the normality of a virgin girl in a backwater town as a sort of peasant girl. And God says, through his angel, God has found favor with you. You are blessed. Peace to you. You're going to bear a miraculous son and he will change the world. We're not going to bear the Savior in a baby. That's already been done. But we are those who are called to bear the presence of God, to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our clubs, in our shops and offices, in our university common rooms. We're called to go there and be those who in our normality bring something of the goodness of God. And so we find through this chapter 1 of Luke the message of salvation like a drumbeat time and time again. Mary visits Elizabeth and she proclaims the song of praise. My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. Zechariah we're going to hear about in 2 weeks' time. His prophecy, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. You'll go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. And today, in verse 31 of our passage, and now you'll bear a son. You'll conceive in your womb and bear a son. You'll name him Jesus. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. That name Jesus is to do with deliverance. It's to do with salvation. It's to do with the God of heaven breaking through into our lives and bringing to us the reality of a divine presence in the midst of our normality. I know you showed that video with some trepidation, James, but that message at the end was of Mary standing there, and it's where we come before God. And the question is, what is our response to all this? Let's be those who take Mary's words. Here I am. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we are in many ways weak. We are in many ways vulnerable. We are in many ways normal. And yet, help us to take that and yet to recognize all that you can do by your grace and mercy and power through us. Come in your majesty, Lord. and invade our lives and shine through us to your glory. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word.